that chalipa that's a shava pruta is that's ke'en kesef. That's more like kesef, more so than a shtar that's a shava pruta. A shtar that's a shava pruta, I thought he was saying nobody would consider that to be ke'en kesef.
You said, sorry, is more like kesef? That's not
which
better.
Which one is ke'en kesef?
Chalipim.
What about a shtar that the paper's worth a pruta? Would anybody suggest that that's ke'en kesef?
No.
No. So I thought that's what he meant, that it's only chalifin that's a shava pruta, then we would see it as ke'en kesef more so than we would see a shtar that's a shava pruta, that more so, meaning that we would only see chalifin as a shava pruta to be ke'en kesef, but we wouldn't say that about a shtar that's a shava pruta. You don't understand what I'm saying?
No, I do understand. It just bothers. I mean,
what bothers you?
It bothers me that this is. I'm not trying to give a good answer to say, but
no,
then who cares? I mean,
cares
meaning, who cares if chalifin is better? That is more similar to kesef than shad, because shad is its own kinyan in and of itself. It doesn't have to be. It's valid no matter.
Well,
what.
That's his point. I thought that was his point. Is because shtar is a separate kinyan. Well. So that and value is irrelevant to it.
So what's the how does this help?
The chalifin, they were thinking of chalifin. Is he just pointing out that chalifin, that's a shava pruta, should be viewed as a modified form of kesef, more so than a shtar that's a shava pruta that we would never.
But
see.
Why would anyone ever think that?
Okay. So you're right. I don't know if anybody would ever think it.
I mean, I'm trying
why,
to understand
well,
that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't like?
Well, the truth is, you could be Makadish a woman if the shtar is worth a shava pruta, and you said to her, be Makadeshes to me with the paper, and not with what's written on the paper.
Oh, as a form of kesef.
Yeah, so it could be a form of kesef. It's just that but if you're using it as a kingdom of shtar, I agree with you. It has nothing to do with, because it's, if you're using it as a kingdom of shtar, then value is of no importance. What's important is the words that are written on the paper.
And then relating to that, which is also just the example that Tosafot brought, is that, what's it called? When he says that, Katvu al Isure Hana'a Kasher.
What is the point of that? I thought the point he's trying to point out is that value is just irrelevant. Because even if you wrote a shtar on something that's worthless, totally worthless, if the back of the paper is totally worthless.
Oh, so you're translating Isure Hana'a as worthless versus like,
no, it's also Yenidachat. If it's also Bahana, then it's worthless.
So then why is it kasher?
That's why
it's kasher, because we don't care about the value of the paper.
No, I understand. I just...
What do you mean?
I don't like... maybe I'm just bothered by the language. I would... Yisurei Hana'a, I think of... When I read the word katvu al Yisurei Hana'a kasher, I'm thinking that means I write a shtar on, let's say, a paper from Ir Hamidachat.
That's right.
And Tosha was saying that's kasher. Regardless of value, that's a swear. You can't get Hana'a from...
I understand, but so let's say you violated the Yisur Hana'a, but is the get kasher? Even if you violated the Yisur Hana'a,
okay.
But is the get... If you gave her such a get, is the get kasher? Is she divorced?
I would think no, because you can't gain benefit from the...
Okay, so I violated the Yisur Hana'a. But why does it follow from that the get...
Because even though you're something using something asur, it can still be mitzvah.
Well, it's like saying if I ate something that's also banah, I still ate it. And I wasn't supposed to do that. Well, maybe that's not a good example. But the point is the fact that he wrote it, the Yisur Hana'a, he wrote the thing on something. So we talked about this yesterday, so I'm not sure if... whether anybody here would be violating the Yisur Hana'a, but even if you would be, how do you know that the gerushin would not take effect? So you violated the Yisur Hana'a, okay? So you did. You violated it.
I would just assume that something mutat can emerge from something asur.
But they're not telling you that you should do this. They're just saying
I know,
that.
Nobody's saying
like, no one's saying you should do it. It's just saying
is the get chal? So the Torah is asking the get should not be chal because it's also b'hanah. First of all, who told you that?
I'm just assuming.
How do you? I know.
But just could be totally wrong.
Didn't we say we wanted to discuss that further? Like, what does it mean, hanah? Is
What is what?
Yesterday we ended off by saying, like, what does Hanukkah mean?
Well, Easter and Nam means something that's also about Hanukkah. We know what that means.
I'm saying, like, what is included in that? What is considered
anything that's also about Hanukkah.
Well, technically, because we discussed yesterday, like, technically writing a get would be considered an Easter and Nam because in some ways she's being released from her marriage. So there's serving a purpose.
Well, we assume that she's, unless we assume.
Or it's serving a purpose for the guy, either way. Is an Easter or Nam?
Not really. The guy loses out if he gets a get because now he has to pay the
Yeah, but he wants it, obviously, if he's doing it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if, so the thing is it's something else. So even let's say if there is a violation of the Easter Hanukkah, I don't think if, I have to look this up.
I mean, wouldn't it?
Who said that therefore the get should not take effect?
Or
why can't the get take effect and violated the Easter Hanukkah?
Well, then this point wouldn't make sense then.
What?
Then this point wouldn't make sense.
Why wouldn't it?
Because right here he says, Kashul Easter Hanukkah Kasher.
Kasher. The get is Kasher.
Is,
what he's trying to tell you is that the get is kosher because it doesn't matter what it's written on.
Yeah, but even if the shtar had value, then it would also be kosher. The get.
Well,
his point is to say because there's a shtar now, which means you can't value. There is no value to it. And the value is irrelevant. Therefore, it shows us that a shtar is not about value.
And the get is kosher. And the get is kosher.
That shows us the shtar is not about value.
That's right.
Or you can also say that it's kosher because it doesn't matter if it had value or not. It's kosher even if you weren't, if there wasn't an Isra or not.
Well, that is what we're saying.
Even if there wasn't an Isra or not.
That's right, because value doesn't. He's talking about where it is. Also, why does he quote the Gemara that says, Sava al Isra hanal kosher? Why does he quote? That's a Gemara. Because
they're separate Averos, that's why.
Separate Averos. You wrote a get on paper that in terms of dollars and cents is worthless. And why is it worthless? Because it's Asur Bahanah. Something that is Asur Bahanah has no value. Nobody would buy it. You won't get a single buyer in the market.
But you can use it.
What?
But you can use it.
But that's not the point. The point is that it's worthless. So if it's worthless, is the get kosher? So he's saying yes. What does that show you?
The
giving a get a
woman
has nothing to do with the value of the banquet. Not that she's receiving something of value in terms of dollars and cents. What she's receiving is an idea expressed in words on a paper. That's what she's getting. Getting an idea. What is a shtar? Think about it. You write something on a shtar, you're expressing certain ideas. Instead of verbalizing it, you're totally just verbalizing it. You're writing it down on paper, and that gives it a status of a shtar. What the background is that you're writing it on is irrelevant. So, yeah.
Back to what Victoria was saying before. Like, she's right. Like, to Tosafot think that there was even a Havamina that, like, that a shtar would have to be a Shava Pruta, or was he just, like, mentioning,
Why
would you even think that?
I hear that.
Like the Gemara literally specifies the Kesef, the
Shavazina,
the Shavapuzar. In what? What's the question? No, like, why did Tosas even have to mention more than a shtar? Of course, a shtar. Isn't it obvious that a shtar has nothing to do with value?
Yeah.
Because
it said separately in the shtar.
Yeah, I mean, like they said Kesef Shtar Bia, and then they said the Kesef, the Shavapruta, or the Pruta. So, like, Kesef, Bia, and
Shtar,
like, obviously that has nothing to do with
the Pruta,
because that's not
Kesef. Rashi even says, if the Shtar isn't worth.
Yeah, well, that's a well-known, I mean, the fact that a Shtar doesn't have to be worth a Pruta, that's well-known.
So, like,
what? He's just bringing that point to show this stuff.
But he wants to maybe point out that, I can just repeat what he said so far, is in Khalif, and he is suggesting that where it is a Shtar Pruta, maybe then it should be like Kesef. That would be true for Khalif, and we would never say that for Shtar. Now you're asking me, is that obvious that we would never say it for Shtar? Okay, I don't have an answer for that.
I just feel like this point is kind of like a little bit parenthetical, the Shtar point.
It
it's
is a parenthetical
really
remark. Well, he's still saying it. Now what Victoria is asking that was so obvious to her, he didn't even have to say it. Okay, so what am I supposed to say? So he said, not it. He didn't say something that's wrong. You're asking that he didn't have to. We would have known it on our own. Okay, so you would have known it. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, I'll overdo this a little too much, but when it says that whole Tati thing, like Khalifin is more like Kesef than a star, whose paper is worth nothing. What's
no,
the point?
It's more like it's more than a star that's a shofar pruta. He's comparing.
Why
Khalif,
does he need to? What's the point of this though?
To contrast Khalifin with star.
And to say that Khalifin would work more than a star would.
That maybe a Khalifin that's a shofar pruta would work as a form of kinyan Kesef, but we would never say that about a shtar that's a shofar pruta.
And then he says, we never say it about a shtar because it's a separate limud, and then he also explains, and chalifin also never works because of all these other things.
Forget the chalifin, so shtar we would never say it, so we're saying because the way we explained it was that the value of the paper is just totally irrelevant because shtar is its own concept based on the words.
But what's the point in saying that chalifin might work more than shtar?
Just trying to explain the Gemara. Why is the Gemara thinking that chalifin should work for Kedusha? Where is the shofar pruta? Why is Gemara thinking that? Because that's Kein Kesef. But we would never say that for a shtar, and that's what we say. The Gemara would never ask, what if a shtar is a shofar pruta, let it work Kein Kesef? So the Gemara would never say that. The Gemara is suggesting it for Khalifin. So why? Because Khalifin, that shofar pruta, maybe is Kein Kesef. A shtar that's a shofar pruta is still not Kein Kesef. So, yes, are we good?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. So in that same line, was Abba Khalifin, the Shofar Pruta, Domin LeKesef. That's the point. But Khalifin, that is a Shofar Pruta, is similar to Kesef. What's the next word?
Mishanet.
What does Mishanet mean?
Answer.
And the Gemara answers. Khalifin isnu b'pachos mishavah pruta v'yim kain eino mitam kesef ela kinyan acher. What does that mean?
Khalifin is an kinyan kesef, but
it's a totally different type of kinyan. And therefore, speaking to Khalifin, how do we know that it's a different type of kinyan?
It's
valid isnu b'pachos mishavah pruta. So therefore, that shows us that it's not a kinyan of kesef at all. Even where it is a shofar pruta, it's still a different kinyan. And therefore, once we say that it's not kesef anymore, then by definition, because the kicho is only about kesef. That was either fresh. So really, the whole issue of the Gemara in a nutshell is, what is the give and take, the before and after in the Gemara according to Tosfos? Is Khalifin a form of Kesef or not? Not really, in one sentence. According to Tosfos, that's what the Gemara is struggling with. Okay. Then, the rest of the Tosfos, when you go through it, it's really not as critical as what we've done to this point. This is the critical part. This is about how to understand this Gemara, this Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Can somebody tell me what's next in Tosfos? Yes?
So he's now going to focus on, well, the immediate next thing is Khalifin and how we could even think that we could learn Khalifin from Sadeh Efron.
Why not?
Because we see that Sadeh Efron was not purchased by way of Khalifin, and he also Tosafot.
So what?
And even more so, Khalifin, he feels, is not a way that Ovetz Pochavin.
Well, which is it?
Second.
It's your second point.
Yeah, but I think it's building off of the first one.
Well, we explained that. We thought that Khalifin was Kein Kesef.
But then why?
But what is bothering him?
Even
if Khalifin is Kein Kesef, but still, Kinyan Khalifin itself, Tosfos is thinking right now that a guy, and not a Gentile, does not have Kinyan Khalifin.
What does that mean? We don't allow us to do a
kinyan
with
if
them.
A Jew is doing a kinyan with a non-Jew, what kinyan does the halacha recognize that would work between these two parties?
Kesef.
Okay, so So that's what the Gemara in Bechara that he quotes from talks about. So did somebody just... Now, when he first quotes this Gemara in Bechoros, what is his... what does he think the Gemara is saying there? Yes?
That there are ways of... Let's say, between a Jew and a Jew, you would use Meshicha to acquire something. Between a Jew and a non-Jew, you would use Kesef. And he thinks the way to understand that Gemara is to say... that you can use is coming to exclude Chalipin from one of them individually doing it, because between a Jew and a non-Jew and between a Jew and a Jew, Chalipin would work for both of them.
It would or would not
work? It would. That's how he understands the Gemara.
But what's that? He's saying
that you might originally first understand the Gemara as saying that Chalipin wouldn't work for either.
Okay, stop right there. That's what we need to know. Tosus is asking that... Our Gemara here in Kiddushin Daf Gimel is saying what? That the Havamin of our Gemara was that based on Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim, the Gemara was asking that Chalifin should work for Kiddushin. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
We're just focusing now on the Gemara's question, nothing else. Forget about everything else. Gemara asked that Chalifin should work for Kiddushin. Why? Because of Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim. Isn't that right? Problem is that in the story with Stei Ephraim, you had the two parties involved in the Kenyan was a Jew and a non-Jew. You had Ephraim and Ephraim. Now, Tosis quotes a Gemara in Bechoros where he sees that Gemara and he initially understood that Gemara as saying that a Gentile does not have Kenyan Chalifa. So that means if you wanted to make a Kenyan with a non-Jew, a Jew and a non-Jew, you can't use Kenyan Chalifa, because Kenyan Chalifa doesn't work for a Gentile. So if that's the halacha, if that's really true, then how on earth could the Gemara here in Kiddushin suggest what? That Kenyan Chalifa, we should derive through Kicho Kicho Mistei Ephraim, we should derive that Kenyan Chalifa can work for Kiddushin because it works by Stei Ephraim. Problem is, it doesn't work. It wouldn't work for Stei Ephraim because Ephraim was not Jewish. And Kenyan Chalifin does not work for a non-Jew. Now, how did Tosfos arrive at that conclusion? What did Tosfos see in the Gemara and Bechoros that convinced him of that? So right now we're just focusing on Tosfos' question, nothing else. Okay, so somebody tell me. I mean, so how do you say it? We'll just say it again. The Gemara in Bechoros said, and it was really focusing on what pasuk in the Torah? Yeah. Chisim kru mimkor la misecha, o kano miyad amisecha. So can somebody tell me how the Gemara in Bechoros understood that pasuk? Do you all notice the Gemara quoted that pasuk?
Yeah.
Okay. Just tell me about the pasuk, yes.
It says miyad, miyad means Meshicha, but since it says miyad amitecha, then Meshicha is only for amitecha, and it's not...
And amitecha is whom?
Usually a Jew, like your
yes.
fellow. So since it says miyad amitecha specifically and not miyad akum, then we know that miyad amitecha is only... Meshicha is only for amitecha.
So this is what the Gemara was concluding. Now, remember, when we talk about Meshicha, what items are we talking about?
Metaltalim.
So the pasuk says miyadam. The fact that it says from the hand of your friend, so it sounds like we're talking about something that is handed over, you know, from hand to hand, which is what Meshicha would be. And it says amisecha, your friend. So the Gemara feels that amisecha is excluding a non-Jew. So that's telling you that who has this Meshicha? Only a Jew. And what does a non-Jew have?
Kesef.
Kenyan Kesef. And that's where the Gemara said, Midi Yisrael Bechada, Nachri is Bechada. So that sounds like that the Nachri only has Kenyan Kesef, doesn't have Meshicha. And Tosis initially is thinking that what else does the Goy not have?
Oh, okay.
Chalifin. So if the guy doesn't have chalif, then how could our Gemara have even suggested that what?
That could be
we should derive from kicha mistayefa that chalifin should work. After all, a guy doesn't have kinyan chalif. This is what bothered Tosfos. Yeah.
I don't know if this is the answer he's going to give, but you can derive something from that case even if chalifin wasn't allowed in that specific case. Because all you're learning is the idea of kifa. Since kifa works with kesef, and if the Gemara is trying to think if maybe chalifin is a type of kesef.
But it's still, it's a type, but it still it has its own name. You have to, you're right.
I mean, in that specific case, they weren't using chalifin because they were using kesef, so.
I know, but by saying that kesef works but not mashicha for a guy, at least initially Tosis is thinking that chalifin should also not work.
Why?
Because it's still different, it's still another kinyan.
Mashicha is also type of kesef?
No.
So just because mashicha doesn't work, why shouldn't
we? Because the Gemara said it's not pachado, he only has one kinyan. So what did Tosis answer? What's the answer? Yes, Victoria.
That's not true. That chalifin does work for a boy.
What do you do with the Gemara and Bacharos?
So he said, yeah, chada chada excluding chalifin, which works for both.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, what does he mean, Tosis, when he says that the Yesh Lomar Dahainu Labar Mechalifin. You all know, right?
To exclude.
Yeah, that is excluding Chalifin. Dumya di Yisrael Bechada. Who knows about that? I mean, Dumya, similar to
the one way that.
To a Yisrael Bechada.
Oh, just
what's
like.
What's he talking about? I mean, Dumya Yisrael Bechada, yes?
Just like for B'nai Yisrael, but for a Yisrael, it's obviously not only one, because there are many
That's right. The Gemara said Yisrael Bechada, right? Does that mean a Jew only has one Kenyan? Only has Kenyan Mashiach and nothing else? Clearly, that's not what the Gemara meant. So just as when it said Bechada by a Jew, it didn't mean, right? So too, Bechada by the guy could also mean what?
Including chalifin.
Excluding chalifin, which they both have. Let's read that inside. So he says, Dumid Yisrael Bechada, Bahachi Ka'amar. This is what it's saying. Midi Yisrael Bechada, Kinyan Chadosh, Bar Mechalifin Shehen Bishneya. What does that mean? No?
Meaning when it says Midi Yisrael Bechada, it's fine that, okay, fine, only Jews can use Mashicha and non-Jews cannot, but that Chalifin is actually similar between both of them.
Yeah, so what does he mean by a Kenyan Chadosh?
Like a new
like
type?
Specific only to...
What's Chadosh?
Yeah.
No, so use the word no. It's a new Kenyan. What means a new Kenyan?
Oh,
that Mashicha is looked upon as this is a new Kenyan where it was only the Torah only provided it for whom?
Jew.
For the Jew. Except for other Kenyanim, let's say, that are universally applied.
Mm-hmm.
But this Kenyan, this new Kenyan of Mashicha, which we're deriving from the Pasuk O Kanon Yara Misecha, that was limited to the Jew. So, fine, so. But then there are other kinyan that apply to both equally. We certainly know that a Jew has chalifin, so he has more than one. But Tosis is also suggesting that a guy has chalifin as well. So Tosis's conclusion is that a guy does have kinyan chalifin. Then he says, V'chein mashma l'kamon. Who can tell me now what's happening? No, anyone else? Rachel, did you understand this?
I think so, because
yeah,
now he's
going to
be quoting the Gemara on the Olive, because that's
about,
the
yeah.
case in which we're discussing purchasing the Evahe brain through Tulu and Kalim. So the question is, why?
Tell me first what the Gemara, the part of the Gemara that we need to know. What did the Gemara there say? Just tell me what the Gemara, don't read it to me. Don't give me a long hakdama. Just tell me the part that I need to know.
That maybe when we're looking at the case of acquiring an Evid Ivri with Tevuah and Kalim initially, the Gemara rejects the use of Tevuah and Kalim.
What is Tevuah and Kalim?
The grains and fruit.
I know the words mean. What kind of Kalim is that?
So, initially you might think that
I don't know about initially. Tell me what I need to know.
But the Gemara says that actually it was Chalifin and that's why it was rejected.
So tell me now the halacha that the Gemara and Daf has told you.
That you can't use Kenyan Khalifin to acquire an Evid Ivri.
That's right. And who is buying the Evid Ivri?
Non-Jew.
A non-Jew, you gotta say that. Is that clear to you?
Yeah.
How do I know that?
Because it does it.
That's what it says. It says it where?
In the Gemara.
In the Gemara?
Because the pasuk is about the non-Jew.
Because it says so in the Chumash. What's this? What is it saying?
Because Megato is talking about selling it to a non-Jew.
Yes,
wait,
talking
no,
about an Evid Ivri who is selling himself to a Gentile. So you look up the pasuk in the Torah, it's talking about an Evid Ivri who is selling himself out of poverty to a Gentile.
That's what Megato means.
And it says there, Mikesef Miknaso, from the Kesef of his purchase. And what did the Gemara Daf Ches derive from the phrase Mikesef Miknaso to exclude? What?
You need
to exclude, which is what? Khalifa.
Khalifa?
Well, that was the
original. But the Gemara rejected that.
So Tosfot thinks when it says Tevuah and Kalim, that's talking about
Khalifa?
Well,
it says it in the Gemara.
The Gemara said it.
It says,
we said Tevuah and Kalim was Shavakasa.
Okay, but the Gemara rejected that. You had to keep reading the Gemara there.
It's
was
like this past
time
where we had learned?
Yes. Yeah.
It was
2 lines
down.
But well, you're reading Tosas. Tosas is telling you Tevuah and Kalim. Tosas doesn't agree with the Gemara?
Is
he
reading
Tosas
but doesn't he
know? No, I just thought that the Rosh had a different way of understanding something.
What? Okay. This is where you have to make sure you know if he's quoting a Gemara, then you got to go back and look at the Gemara.
No, we did, but we had learned this earlier, so we thought it was
so
just
then
the
you have to
thing.
Learn it.
Where on the page of the Gemara?
It's there. It's two lines down.
You just continue
a couple of lines down.
The Tosfot in the
yeah,
right to the right of that is where it's the discussion of maybe it's Chalifin. Mm-hmm.
But this is the Evid Ivri redeeming himself, not purchasing himself.
Well,
purchasing
like,
himself.
Yeah, but it says Mikesef Miknaso. He's redeeming himself from the Kesef of his purchase.
Right, so meaning what was used to purchase him?
Was the Kesef.
Right.
And the Gemara says, Kesef, yes, but Tevuah of the Kalim, which the
no.
Gemara went on eventually to say, is not simply referring to Shavakesef that is Lokayetz, which is what the Gemara first thought it meant. The Gemara came back and rejected that and said that Tevuah of the Kalim is referring specifically to Chalifin, because Tevuah of the Kalim could be items that you would use for Chalifin. It's not just simply talking about Shavakesef. It's talking about Kenyan Chalifin, and it has nothing to do with the issue of Kayetz and Lok Kayetz, which is what the Gemara first thought it was about. So that was the debate there was between Rav and Rav Yosef, whether you need Kayetz or not. Remember this whole thing?
So Chalifin is not allowed for a non-Jew.
It's not allowed for a non-Jew to do what?
To purchase an Evid Ivri.
To buy an Evid Ivri. Okay.
Would,
now
right?
That has nothing to do with Tosfos. I got all that out of the Gemara Daf Ches. Even if I never saw Tosfos in my life, I would know that. Now, what does Tosfos mean? See, when you do something, you've got to know what's in the Gemara and what's in the Risho. Now, if Tosfos is quoting from a Gemara and saying something about that Gemara, then you have to be able to go back to the Gemara and see it there. And you don't take Tosas' word for it. You don't learn with Amuna. Oh, Tosas said it. Who am I to question? You know, who am I to say anything? No, yes. If Tosas questions, you look up the Gemara. You find out where's the Gemara. Let's read the Tosas. Tosas says, Sivya, read this. V'chein mashma l'kamon.
Reading Tosas?
Yeah, Tosas. V'chein mashma l'kamon.
V'chein mashma l'kamon. Gavayim kaz ovid pochavim. Mikasas mpinto. Mikasas mpinto. The A Nikna, the Tua the Torah to Uvi Kalem, and he was not bought with Tua and Kalem.
Keep going.
Remind me, the Khalifan, what about Khalifan?
No, 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 you're not translating it right.
And is this Khalifan?
Umay Nihu.
What is it?
And what are they?
And what are they?
What are they? What are these Tvu of the Kalin?
Khalifan.
Mm-hmm. What, Tosis made that up?
That's from the Gemara.
It's from the Gemara. Tosis doesn't make it up. He's claiming the Gemara said it. Umay Nihu, and what are these things, this Tvu of the Kalin? How are they functioning? What are they doing? They're Khalifan.
Not
Chavakesa. Not Chavakesa. Keep reading.
Shmami Namina from here. The Sharm Dvarim, Nikhin, the Khalifan, Ovi Kohaven. The other things are purchased with Khalifan by Ovi Kohaven.
In other words, the only thing that a goy cannot purchase with Khalifan is an epidivri. But other things, he could.
But how did we know that from the Gemara in Chadam and Aleph, we know that it was an epidivri that was trying to purchase? We knew that it was an Akum that was trying to purchase another different. Okay.
How do you know? Because I thought about it.
No.
I just said we said it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But someone repeated again. How do I know?
How do you know the pasuk? Pasuk,
if you look up the Chumash and you read the Psukim, it'll say to you that the Eved Ivri is selling himself to a guy.
Okay.
So. Even if I never studied Gemara in my life, I would know that. I'm just learning Chumash.
You should do that too.
Do you all review the Parsha every week?
No.
You see, you should do it. Even just playing. Even if you don't go in, just read the text and understand the text. Just to be familiar. So it's not some foreign entity to you. Hopefully it will take you 30 minutes. Just go through the Parsha. Even if you don't do any rash, nothing. Just read and know what you're reading in terms of the text. You have to do it, otherwise... Okay. Next. Now, who understood the next part?
So this is just the V'chein Hayaragil?
Yeah, but who can tell me what happens next? V'chein ha'yarogil Rabbeinu Tam. What is going on? Yes,
he's trying to show that really Ovei Kochavim and non-Jewish people can really do Khalifa.
Yes. Now how does he show it? That is correct. That is what he's now going to demonstrate from something that Tosis claims Rabbeinu Tam used to do. He did something. And now, and apparently whatever he did is going to demonstrate what? That Rabbeinu Tam believes what?
That
Khalifa, that a guy does have Kinyan Khalifa. Now, this was hard because he's introducing concepts that if you've never learned them before, it's hard to know what is being said. Did anybody get it? Okay, McKenna, yes.
Well, I don't know if I really... I don't know, but okay. But basically, what we were thinking is that Rabbeinu Tam would send a shaliach who was an Oved Kochavim, like a non-Jewish shaliach, and this shaliach would
for
have
what purpose?
To do a kinyan with a Jew.
Okay.
But
what do you mean to do a kinyan with a Jew? Give me make up an insight. Make up a case.
Okay, so let's say. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam wants to buy something like a cow, let's say. Is that a bad example?
Well, I have nothing against cows. But what, okay, go ahead.
Well, okay, backing up from that,
a guy wants to buy a cow from a Jew.
Okay, fine.
And then what do you do?
What?
So who wants to buy a cow from a Jew?
Okay, so fine. Let's say that the non-Jew, then that's not how I understood it, so maybe it's wrong. So...
Start again.
The way I understood it.
Of course, the way I was.
Was that Rabbeinu Tam was sending a shaliach because Rabbeinu Tam wanted to buy something.
Good, okay.
Okay. Now, that shaliach that Rabbeinu Tam was sending, that shaliach was not Jewish.
Okay.
So, with that shaliach, Rabbeinu Tam sent this harsha'ah.
What's that?
So, that's a document that states that this shaliach is a valid shaliach.
Okay, it's more than that. What do you mean a valid?
So, like, let's say that...
I'm sorry. Yeah.
So let's say
what
that...
What do you mean a valid?
Okay, so let's take just, like, a slightly different case. Let's say there were there was a Malvin, a Lovin, and the Lovin owes the Malvin money, right? Let's say. So let's say that the real Lovin wasn't able to appear in court, so he sent the Shaliach to appear in his place. Now... the Malvin might look at this Lovin and say, this Shaliach, and say, this person has nothing to do with this case, why is he here? So in order to prove that he, that in order for the Shaliach to prove
you know
that...
what she's saying, I mean, she's right. Go
in
ahead.
Order for the Shaliach to prove that he really is the Shaliach from the original Lovin, he'll pull out the Parsha'ah.
What does, see, it's more than that. You mean, the Lovin is questioning whether he really is a Shaliach?
The yeah. Yeah.
No.
Or no, not that he's questioning whether he's a shaliach. He's just saying this person has nothing to do with this case.
Good. So then, what is the fact that he's a shaliach? How does it help then?
Because that way, then
what does the harshah do then?
Then it will show that he's there by extension of the original person.
Then he's a shaliach. You're saying
right.
But,
so
if
then,
but if it was never questioned that he was a shaliach in the first
place, okay. So then that does have to be questioned, I guess.
Yes, and what is the harshah?
Can I add something into McKenna's statement?
Yeah, see, there's something else, there's another component here.
And I would add in maybe that he has the ability to be koneh, the object, in the shaliach's place. I mean, sorry, in the, let's say, the Avinu Tam's place.
Okay.
It's like what you do before Shabbat.
First of all...
you like accept something on someone else's behalf.
Okay, what do you want to say?
Can I suggest, I don't know if this is... maybe this guy that he's sending, because a non-Jewish person can't actually be a shaliach, this guy is the chalifin?
He is a chalifin?
No. Like he is going to signify the...
No. Yes?
I mean, I think pretty much the same thing that's happened to Victoria, but...
McKenna was saying, that's what it's about.
Right.
It's just that you have to understand what this harshah is. Anybody know the translation of harshah?
Commission.
I thought it was a title or a D.
Validation.
Entitlement.
Okay. Harshah is really a power of attorney.
That was the word in the frame.
It said, like, what all of you guys said, it said in the frame.
What
like it had a bunch of different versions of like entitlement, all those. It had a lot.
Okay.
That's why we said basically power of attorney.
But practically, what is this about? Okay, it's as follows. It's a case where, let's say, somebody owes me something. Whether he owes me a debt, or let's say he has some object of mine that belongs to me that I want back. Okay, so I'm interested in collecting whatever it is. Let's say McKenna owes me money, or let's say she has my car or something, and I want it back. So I don't want to schlep her to where she is myself, so I want to send a shaliach to go collect. But first of all, forget about whether the shaliach is Jewish or not. Let's just talk about everybody's Jewish now. So I'm going to send, let's say, I'll appoint a shaliach. Okay. Let's say, I'll ask Racheli, please be my shaliach, go collect the debt that McKenna owes me. She says, sure, why not? She goes over, knocks on McKenna's door and says, you owe Rabbi Kahn this money, I'm his shaliach, give it to me. So McKenna says, yeah, I owe Rabbi Kahn money, but I don't owe you anything. So get off my property. Knows McKenna can say to Racheli, you're not my Baal Dover. If Rabbi Kahn wants his debt back, let him come. Now, in the way, in the phrase that would be in the Gemara, it's Lav Baal Dvarim Didi At. Know what those words mean? Lav.
You're not my litigant.
You're not my litigant. And it's true, Racheli, McKenna doesn't owe any money to Racheli. I appointed her as a shliach. So the halacha says that's not good enough. Not because you question whether I appointed. Of course I appointed. No one's doubting it. But what McKenna's saying is, I don't care if you're a shliach. I don't owe you anything. You have no right to demand payment from me. Now, what is a harshah? So in order for me to send Racheli, I have to give her the koach of harsha'a. What does that mean? It is a document. But what actually happens is I have to transfer to her the ownership of the debt itself that McKenna owes me. So that means I have to do a kinyan with Lechewe, where I am basically, now of course, I'm trusting her.
Yeah, she could run away with
yeah,
the money.
Yeah, of course.
And then you've given
but
money.
But again, we're assuming that this is something, you know, that there's trust. And the issue is not that we're, that Rachel is going to go off. That's not our issue. Our issue is that if I am magneter her ownership of whatever it is that I want collected from McKenna, so then when she comes to McKenna's door, she's not coming as a third-party stranger. She's coming as a litigant. And of course, we made a deal that she's going to bring it back and give it to me, and then I'll compensate her for her efforts, right? So a harsha is a in the harsha. That's the power of attorney. Just like, what do we mean when we say power of attorney? That means if I appoint with someone, let's say I'm sick and frail and whatever, and I need someone to represent me financially, so I give someone the power of attorney. That person has a bank everywhere. And the bank will treat him like the bank would treat me. Because I gave him the power of attorney. Well, how did, in halacha, how do you give someone the power of attorney? It's by being machmed to the person the ownership of the very thing that I want collected from that other, in this case from McKenna. Now, the question is, as the shaliach, as the one that I'm sending, can I send a non-Jew? Because in order to do so, I would have to then do a kinyan with what? With the non-Jew to give him the power of attorney. That's what this is about. So what did Rabbeinu Tam say? What did Tosfos say? V'chein hayah ragil Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was accustomed l'shloach harsha, to send this power of attorney, v'yarovi kachavim. V'hayah makne b'chalifin. How did, let's say, if I wanted to send a Nachri to collect the money from McKenna, what Kenyan did I do? What did Rabbeinu Tam do? Mm-hmm. He did Khalifa.
Why Khalifa and not someone else?
No reason, because Khalifa couldn't work.
Where's this recorded?
Oh, I don't know. Tosis knows that Rabbeinu Tam did this. So, we don't know who wrote this Tosis, but obviously we're talking about in the period of the Balea Tosis, apparently that was known, that Rabbeinu Tam would be Machna, and say my words, would be Machna, the kinyan that he would use to give the harsha to the guy, to be his agent, to collect the debt, let's say, the kinyan that Rabbeinu Tam used with the guy was harsha, was Khalifa. Just confirms that Rabbeinu Tam believed what? Kinyan Khalifa, that a guy has Kinyan Khalifa, that's all. And that's really the whole thing. But then he makes a further point about this harsha. I don't know if any, just what I've said so far.
Just a question on this, because when we were reading this, I kind of began to think of our cases nowadays in which we do Kinyan Khalifa with a non-Jew, because we do, right? When we're selling our chametz on Pesach, isn't that done with a Kinyan Khalifa with a non-Jew?
Well, they use all the kinyanim.
They use shtar as well as the whole, like, pen lifting.
They do Khalifa.
Okay. Was that done in the term of post-world, or that's more of a modern... Because that's an even stronger case than Rabbeinu Tam just sending...
Well, that whole idea of selling your chametz as, you know, that's something that was later.
Okay, later than the college.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think... It was later that... I don't know when it started. It was, I think, that people saw it, especially people who were in the chametz business. They would lose a ton of money. They just couldn't afford it if they had to destroy it all. Mm-hmm. And then it became somewhat, it started to become popular to sell your
chametz. Right, it's so widespread that that's even
Well, this was an example that they know about Rabbeinu Tam who came to Harsha. So, yeah.
I don't understand why we call it a shaliach, because once you transfer over the debt to someone else, like that person, like Rachel is.
But really, it's more than he's not just the. I mean, he's my agent because he's doing it. Ultimately, he's doing it for me. But the way it legally works is he was kind of the object.
Right, so why do we still call him?
Who says we call him a shaliach?
I mean, Tosfos.
Well, he's still an agent of mine.
Not anymore. Like, Rachel is just coming to collect for herself now.
No, she's not. She's going to be collecting for me, but she also owns the debt. She's not running off with it. She's going to give it to me. So that's the agency that I have with...
If you didn't do that agency and you just sent Rachel... McKenna didn't say, like, you're not my litigant. McKenna just said, like, yeah, okay, here's the money. Would that still work, or did you have to give Rachelle the power?
No, it probably could work if McKenna didn't object.
So this is only if McKenna objects?
Yeah, so we have to provide the legal setting so that McKenna can't say no.
Okay.
Who ends with the next part? Umihu, Bazet, Sarach, Li, Zohar, Shalolichto. You can read the next word.
Kinina.
No.
Kinina.
You know, the Kanina Minei. The Ainshli Chuzus Chilo Bekochavim. Kida Amrinan. Karchamishi Bekochavim Mitzia. Ella Bekana Halo Bekochavim Kasvina. Period. What on earth is Tosfos talking about? Yeah, who can explain it? Avital, your hands up?
I think so. I think in the case that we're talking about with Rabbeinu Tam, of the Shaliach, the person can't say, I acquired it from this individual, like your Shaliach that you're sending, but rather I myself, the Akum himself has to be Kone. Similar to what we were saying before is that
you... I don't get this. I mean, but Shalolach Tov, you shouldn't write what?
The Kanina Mine.
I know, what does that mean?
That I acquired it from him.
Who acquired it from whom?
That the, let's say you have a loan, an outstanding loan, that you got your loan, like let's say Rachel was your Shaliach, that you didn't acquire your loan from Rachel, but rather, like you shouldn't say
I
that.
I do what?
Acquire.
I own, McKenna owes me money.
Right.
I want to send Rachel to collect it. Go ahead.
And Rachel did collect the money. So when you say that, once you receive the money, I guess, you can't say that you receive the money.
Can't say where. What do you mean? Where is this written?
So I misunderstood it.
Who can explain what's happening here? Oh, yes.
I'm thinking. Because now it's like becoming clearer. It seems like, okay, we have this concept that en shalichut v'zaken l'obed kochavim, meaning, which means there is no such thing as shalichut and transfer of rights to the obed kochavim.
Transfer
meaning that
rights.
He can acquire it.
Or
meaning we're discussing the language. It has to be written on the document. It sounds
which
like
which document are you talking about?
The
Shtar Harsha.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking now about the Shtar Harsha. So what about that?
On the Shtar Harsha.
Oh, good. Yes. What does it say there?
It has to be the language has to be passive. And it has to say, meaning, Vekana ha'ovet kochavim, which means ovet kochavim acquired versus
what?
Vekane na mine, and I acquired it from him. Because it sounds like.
No. Look at I acquired it from him. What's that?
Is that
the same thing?
I the akum. Like I the ovet kochavim. It can't say I acquired it. I think it has to say.
You know, Crystal Kanina doesn't mean I here.
He acquired it.
The kanena doesn't mean I.
That's what we saw. It was
It's we.
Yeah. Oh, he should have. He should make sure that they're not partners on this. That it's not that.
No, this is no.
But he can't be a shaliach for him and be.
Okay. Now.
Oh.
Sylvia, since you're the only person married in the room, if you looked at your ksuva.
Try not to.
Try not to. You would know what this is.
Maybe it's like, can I suggest something?
something, maybe?
Yeah.
That we have to be careful not to write that we acquired, meaning...
Who's we?
The non-Jew and the...
No.
The wife? The husband and wife?
No.
The court.
Maybe it's the
person
Shalia. Receiving it.
No.
The Shaliach and the sender of the Shaliach?
No.
The Betin.
Who else is it?
The Betin.
Is
this like the rabbi who picks up the pen? That like it's not that the rabbi and the husband are both acquiring her. It's that it has to be careful to just that it's only the husband who is acquiring her. Even though she had sent a shaliach to do it on behalf of her.
Say who's we?
Well, in the case of the ketubah, it'd be the husband is one of them, and the other one would be the rabbi who had picked up the Kenyan Sudar for her.
So just here, who's the we?
So the we would be Rabbi Yutam.
Okay.
It'd be the Eved, the Oved Kochav.
The milkman.
One of them is for sure the Eved Kochav.
He shouldn't say that.
No.
Dang it, I was so wrong. And then definitely
so
not
maybe
that.
Maybe it's the original debtor and then the person who has to pay out.
I think
okay.
We've suggested every possible.
I know.
And
yeah.
Everyone has
said the correct one.
Is it the third part?
What's that to do with Ksuba?
A bit Nina.
Okay. The phrase for Kanina Mine, you find that in the Ksuba too. Kanina means, what this means is the following.
The agent?
That. Yes.
Yay!
I cheated. I looked in the Haggadah of Etziona. It says here, "Dekanina mine, mash masha edim shluchim lekabel hakinyan."
To say that's not cheating.
It's not
cheating. Anything's on the page isn't cheating.
Well, it's cheating because I don't have it on my page.
Where is it on your page?
On the right.
Sibi has so many more things in her Gemara than
yeah.
We do. It's just kidding. We have it also.
You should have
okay,
it.
Okay. You know what that means? What it means is the following. That,
sorry,
that the king, who is the kohen, in this harsha, who is the kohen and who is the makna?
The kohen is the akum.
Is the akum and the makna, let's say, would be me if I'm right now. So Rabbeinu Tam said that he used king and khalifa. Now, so. Very often what we would do, let's forget about it, things are good. Let's say it's all Jews. Now, what the Kanina Mine means is referring that the Eidim, you can have two Eidim who are going to sign the Harsha, they could also be the ones to do a Kenyan with me, and they're Kona the debt on behalf of whom?
You.
Whoever the recipient is. No, you know, not.
What?
Yeah.
They're
accepting by proxy for the Oved Kochav.
That's right.
So if there are two shalichim
ahead?
Yeah.
No.
Why does that have to happen?
But even if the guy is not in the room, it could still be done.
You have to be careful to say that they're not.
But they can't be edim for, like, then aren't they, like, kind of double dipping? These edim?
They are going to make the Kenyan. They are representing. Let's say Racheli is not here at the time, and I want to get this Harsha written up, get it going. She's coming in. Let's say she won't be here for another 5 hours, and I need it to be done now because I got
to
go away. Whatever the reasons are, I want to get it in. I want to get this thing done right away. So what you could do is I don't have to wait for Racheli to come in and do the Kenyans. The king and Khalifan with her, I could have two Eidim who end up are going to be signing the Harsha that they can represent Recheli. So that therefore I'll make the king, whoever the two Eidim are, I'll go over to them, I'll make the Kenyan with them, correct? And then if I'll make the Kenyan with them, they are not being Kona for themselves. They're not going to be the agents who are going to go to McKenna to go collect. They're just representing Recheli. So then when they make the Kenyan with me, who are they Kona the object for? Not for themselves.
The Shaya.
So therefore they're being, in a sense, they're representing, they're acting on whose behalf?
Rachel.
Recheli's behalf.
No,
as the acceptors.
No, she's
the
shaliach.
She's the shaliach now? Okay.
And she's always been the shaliach.
I'm the shaliach.
Okay.
They're the proxy.
You owe
and the agent.
You owe me money.
Zahava and Avital are two male witnesses.
Always have to be one.
And
so
I'm Akum, so we're all good.
So
the point of the agent, the purpose of those agents is because the Kona can't be there, and just so they can. They're just to know that I appointed this other person and gave.
No, they make. I make a opinion.
But you can't make a opinion without the other person there, no?
Well,
it's
all by proxy because this is something that she wants.
And they're Azim
Yeah, how do we know? But how do we know that Rachel wants it for sure?
We're assuming she does. No one's forcing her to go and collect the money. This is all arranged.
So what if Rachel gets there and says, wait a minute, I don't want it?
That's not... Why bring up something that we're not discussing?
The assumption is
and
that it was pre-arranged.
What we are discussing.
But what's the purpose of the agent?
What?
What is the purpose of the agent, though? Why do you need two of them?
You don't need it. It's just that became the custom that they were there, that they would be the ones to use. This is what I said about the tshuva is, we do something very similar where?
With the tshuva.
How? What it was?
He knows
when I still think it's when the rabbi does the chalifin,
yes.
The woman, it's the edim who are there that are...
The rabbi is representing the kala. And he's doing, and so who is he?
Oh.
He is doing it on behalf of the Kala. It used to be in the time of the Rishonim, and even maybe in the time of the Gemara, who used to do it on behalf of whoever the recipient was? The Eidim.
Can you just, sorry. Okay, before we look at your ketubah, react to whatever, can you just say it one more time? Just the Eidim,
okay.
How it's working?
Okay.
Yeah, all I have my nose is but for the star.
However, with this, we need.
Could you
add
stick
for
you?
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to put this into notes.
You have a malva, right? And you have a lova. And you're sending a shaliach to go collect, right? Now, in order for the shaliach to be able to collect, you need a harsha. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, in this harsha, what's going to happen in this harsha?
It's going to transfer
ownership of the debt to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, how do you do that? We need a kinyan. Okay. So Rabbi Natan says you can use kinyan khalifa. Now, what was very common practice was that they didn't necessarily have to wait for the shlich himself to come in so that he and him, that he would do the kinyan directly with him to give him ownership of the debt. You could do it that way. But it was common practice that even if the shliach wasn't in the room at the time that they were writing up the harsha, and you have two eidim, right, who are going to be signing this harsha, so this person would ask the two eidim, you know what, make the kinyan on behalf of this fellow. Make the king on his behalf. So, okay. So then these two guys would take the handkerchief, right? And, it would be the other way around. So that they would give the handkerchief to him. And by so doing, what would they get in return?
The debt.
They would then own the debt on behalf of him. So now, at the end of the day, he'll now own the debt.
When does that transfer?
As the moment they make the kinyan khalifa.
The moment
Rachelie has it.
Why can't
just
do it herself?
That belongs to the agent.
Okay.
On the way, like on the subway, she just
says, so therefore, now the problem is, if this shaliach is not Jewish, they can't do something on his behalf.
Why not?
Because that's what he calls the Gemara and Bavli, it's Ein Shlichus
Uschiyum Ha'Oved Kochavim. So you have to be careful to say.
So therefore, what do you have to be careful to do?
To say that the Edim are not accepting it.
So then what do you have to be careful to do?
Give it directly to the Oved Kochavim.
Do the Kinyan directly with him.
What do you mean? So you shouldn't use the two Edim?
That, in the case if the Shlich is a guy, you don't use the two Edim.
Why is that?
Because there's no Shlichus to a guy.
people can't be a shaliach for a goy?
That's right.
Oh.
So then what does it mean when he says, that's why you should write the kanina mine implies what? That we, the Edom, acquired it for him. That won't work. So what should you write instead?
The
kana ha'ove kochan. What would that mean if it wrote the kana?
He himself.
He, this guy himself, made the kinyan with the malva. Understand?
Yes. When did it become accepted that if we're needed to sign the Hashah of the Chalaf?
Any star has to be signed.
Okay.
How do we know that there was a Hashah?
Okay, so then that...
In other words, what if McKenna says, prove to me that you have a Hashah, so you're without
it's
a
like
piece
of
paper that's not signed, so say maybe you forged the whole thing.
Okay.
So,
that's what
yeah.
you're
so it's not
before.
Saying that... it's saying that the... What's the new thing that he's saying that Edom can't be used? In, when he says don't write that we've got it, don't write it in terms of the two Edom. It doesn't mean it means that you can't even do it with the two Edom.
Yeah, don't write it in because you can't do it with
you
them.
You can't do it with them. Well,
if
the shaliach didn't obey.
Right.
But the two Edom still need to be there.
Yes, but
they're not taking on the same.
They shouldn't do. They'll just sign the harshah, but they have to. But in order for them to sign. They would have to witness. What would the two Edom have to witness?
Shaliach giving the Sudar to the Malva.
That's right.
My question is, if they're Edom, how could they possibly accept the Malva on his behalf? If they're Edom from the Parsha, how could they themselves go ahead and acquire something? It's two separate transactions. It's two separate.
If the Shaliach was Jewish, they could do that.
You need Edom there no matter what.
No, that there was a Harshah. Maybe it was the whole thing was forged.
So that would be either Lothar or Lothar.
Yeah,
to prevent falsification of a
Harshah. Every star needs Edom.
Now it's bothering me even more every time I go back to this because I was there and I sold it. Which makes me think that the whole Sudar was a farce. Like I was right there and they're like, here, take this pen. I'm not going to tell you why, but take this pen, take it up.
They told you to do that?
No, they told him to do that and I was sitting right next to him.
Oh, you could have done it.
Or I didn't need to do it, I was there.
You still need
no, so
to
then
do
you
it.
Then you do
right.
it.
Someone has to do it.
If I was there, wouldn't that mean that I'm accepting it?
No.